The following is a review of economics principles and is designed to address the learning outcome statements set forth by the CFA Institute. It is also covered in international trade and capital flows. Before we address specific topics and learning outcomes, it will help to define some terms as follows. Imports. Goods and services that firms, individuals, and governments purchase from producers in other countries. Exports. Goods and services that firms, individuals, and governments from other countries purchase from domestic producers. Autarky, or closed economy. A country that does not trade with other countries. Free trade. A government places no restrictions or charges on import and export activity. Trade protection. A government places restrictions, limits, or charges on exports or imports. World price. The price of a good or service in world markets for those to whom trade is not restricted. Domestic price. The price of a good or service in the domestic country, which may be equal to the world price if free trade is permitted, or different from the world price when the domestic country restricts trade. Net exports. The value of a country's exports minus the value of its imports over some period. Trade surplus. Net exports are positive. The value of the goods and services a country exports are greater than the value of the goods and services it imports. Trade deficit. Net exports are negative. The value of the goods and services a country exports is less than the value of the goods and services it imports. Terms of trade. The ratio of an index of the prices of a country's exports to an index of the prices of its imports expressed relative to a base value of 100. If a country's terms of trade are currently 102, the prices of the goods it exports have risen relative to the prices of the goods it imports since the base period. Foreign direct investment. Ownership of productive resources, such as land, factories, or natural resources in a foreign country. Multinational corporation. A firm that has made foreign direct investment in one or more foreign countries, operating production facilities and subsidiary companies in foreign countries. Now, we can begin addressing the LOS for this topic review, the first of which asks us to compare gross domestic product and gross national product. Gross domestic product over a period, typically a year, is the total value of goods and services produced within a country's borders. Gross national product is similar, but measures the total value of goods and services produced by the labor and capital of a country's citizens. The difference is due to non-citizen incomes of foreigners working within a country, the income of citizens who work in other countries, the income of foreign capital invested within a country, and the income of capital supplied by its citizens to foreign countries. The income to capital owned by foreigners invested within a country is included in the domestic country's GDP, but not in its GNP. The income of a country's citizens working abroad is included in its GNP, but not in its GDP. GDP is more closely related to economic activity within a country, and so to its employment and growth. The next LOS requires us to describe benefits and costs of international trade. The benefits of trade are not hard to understand. As an example, consider China, and really Asia as a whole, which has had rapidly growing exports to the United States and other countries. The benefit to the importing countries has been lower cost goods, from textiles to electronics. The benefits to the Chinese economy have been in increasing employment, increasing wages for workers, and the profits from its export products. The costs of trade are primarily borne by those in domestic industries that compete with imported goods. Textile workers who have lost their jobs in the United States, as more and more textiles are imported, are certainly worse off in the short run. As other industries, such as healthcare, have grown, these workers have had to retrain to qualify for the new jobs in those fields. At the same time, U.S. firms that produce textile products using capital and technology-intensive production methods have expanded. We address the reasons for this and the underlying economic theory in this topic review. Overall, economics tells us that the benefits of trade are greater than the costs for economies as a whole, so that the winners could conceivably compensate the losers and still be better off. We now turn to the economic theory that supports this view, as the next LOS is to distinguish between comparative advantage and absolute advantage. A country is said to have an absolute advantage in the production of a good if it can produce the good at lower cost in terms of resources than that of another country. A country is said to have a comparative advantage in the production of a good if its opportunity cost in terms of other goods that could be produced instead is lower than that of another country. Economic analysis tells us that regardless of which country has an absolute advantage, there are potential gains from trade as long as the opportunity costs of one good in terms of another are different. This analysis was first published by David Ricardo in 1817. He used the example of the production of cloth and wine in England and Portugal. The costs of labor to produce one unit of cloth and one unit of wine for both countries were given as 100 to produce cloth and 110 to produce wine in England, and 90 to produce cloth and 80 to produce wine in Portugal. Ricardo argued that in the absence of trading costs, England could trade cloth for wine, and by doing so, get wine for 100 instead of 110. Portugal would get cloth for 80, the cost in Portugal of the traded wine, and both countries would be better off. Note that Portugal has an absolute advantage in the production of both goods, but a comparative advantage in the production of wine. In England, the opportunity cost of one unit of wine is 110 divided by 100, or 1.1 units of cloth. In Portugal, the opportunity cost of one unit of wine is 80 divided by 90, or 0.89 units of cloth. Since Portugal has a comparative advantage in the production of wine, England must have a comparative advantage in the production of cloth. We can confirm this by noting that the opportunity cost of cloth is 100 divided by 110, or 0.91 units of wine in England, and 90 divided by 80, or 1.125 units of wine in Portugal. The conclusion is that in the absence of trading costs, trade can make both countries better off by increasing total consumption of both goods in both countries. However, if trading costs are high enough, they will prevent gains from trade. An important point of the analysis is that whether one country has an absolute advantage in the production of one or both goods, as long as the opportunity costs of the goods in each country are different, there are possible gains from trade. The next LOS is to explain the Ricardian and Heckscher-Ohlin models of trade and the source or sources of comparative advantage in each model. The Ricardian model of trade has only one factor of production, labor. The source of differences in production costs in Ricardo's model is differences in labor productivity due to differences in technology. Heckscher and Ohlin presented a model in which there are two factors of production, capital and labor. The source of comparative advantage in this model is differences in the relative amounts of each factor the countries possess. We can view the England and Portugal example in these terms by assuming that England has more capital compared to labor than Portugal. Additionally, we need to assume that cloth production is more capital-intensive than wine production. The result of their analysis is that the country that has more capital will specialize in the capital-intensive good and trade for the less capital-intensive good with a country that has relatively more labor and less capital. In the Heckscher-Ohlin model, there is a redistribution of wealth within each country between labor and the owners of capital. The price of the relatively more available factor of production in each country will increase so that owners of capital will earn more in England and workers will earn more in Portugal compared to what they were without trade. This is easy to understand in the context of prices of the two goods. The good that a country imports will fall in price. That is why they import it. And the good that a country exports will rise in price. In our example, This means that the price of wine falls and the price of cloth rises in England. Because with trade, more of the capital-intensive good, cloth, is produced in England, demand for capital and the price of capital will increase in England. As a result, capital receives more income at the expense of labor in England. In Portugal, increasing the production of wine, which is labor-intensive, increases the demand for and price of labor, and workers gain at the expense of the owners of capital.